This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the most important things to understand about yourself before marriage is what are your expectations for marriage, right? Having realistic expectations, because I'll tell you, like, that's one of the major issues that tends to come up, right? Where people have completely unrealistic expectations, and it makes sense that people have unrealistic expectations, right? Like, we have all of this media. Like, forget about just movies and things like that. Yeah, movies we all know, and TV shows we all know, are completely unrealistic portrayals of healthy relationships, right? We know that. But even more are what real people portray through media, through social media, right? Real people and the way that they portray their relationships on social media are completely false and completely unrealistic. People post their highlight reels, and we all compare the low points in our lives to their high points, right? You know, like, there are so many people, like, I still remember somebody at some point posting on her, like, on one of her social media accounts how, oh, you know, my husband just brought me breakfast in bed, you know, hashtag alhamdulillah, and all of these things, right? And so, you know, you look at that and you're thinking, like, all these other women look and they're like, my husband doesn't give me breakfast in bed, right? Like, and then they become dissatisfied. And then later on, about a year later, the same person reaches out to me and tells me that she's actually struggling with domestic violence with her husband, right? So people portray what they choose to portray, and it is unrealistic. And it's really important for us to know that so that we can maintain realistic expectations, which is very, very hard to do. You know, and furthermore, unrealistic expectations are also a trap of shaitan. Like, this is one of the things that he uses to create a sense of dissatisfaction, right? Because when you're content, you feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're worshiping him better and things like that. This sense of contentment is something so beautiful, right? So discontent is going to be something that shaitan is always trying to breed within us. And he always tries to get us to think that nothing is good enough other than an unreachable standard. Because what happens when you set unreachable standards? You give up. And that's one of his goals, right? Like, even the way that, look at the way he tempted Adam alayhi salam and Eve. When he said to them to eat from the tree that they were not permitted to eat from. He said to them, your Lord has forbidden this tree to you only to prevent you from becoming angels or immortals. And then he swore to them, I am truly your sincere advisor. So what does he do? He tells them, you're human, right? And what's the virtue of an angel? One of the virtues of an angel is that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, tirelessly worshiping Allah. And so Adam alayhi salam, you know, like, he wants to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that much, right? So this standard of perfection, that's how shaitan got to him. He didn't get to him by telling him to stop worshiping Allah. No, he got to him by making him aim for a standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell him to aim for, right? And this is what shaitan tries to convince us, that if you can't obtain perfection, it's not even worth trying. And so if your spouse is not perfect for you, if your spouse doesn't obtain perfection, then the marriage is doomed, right? And so people have these unrealistic expectations. And so it's called all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, right? It's either I get everything or it's not worth it. And that's what shaitan really aims for us, right? So the next time that you notice that you're feeling overwhelmed, that you're feeling angry, stressed out, if you're down on yourself or on other people, then consider whether your standards are to blame, whether your standards are too high, right? And then go ahead and readdress those standards. Consider how you might change them. Consider whether they're realistic. If somebody were holding me up to these same standards, would I be able to achieve them? Or if you're being really hard on yourself, if I were holding somebody up to these same standards, would they be able to achieve them, right? Rather than allowing shaitan to convince you otherwise. So what are some of the ways that we can manage this? One of the ways that we can do that is by having a healthy goal in our marriage. Right? Because as human beings, we always want a sense of achievement. But when we don't have a goal in marriage, what ends up happening is our brain creates its own goal, and that goal is perfection, right? And so it'll never be reached. So even if you get, if you reach a certain point in your marriage or something good happens, it's like, well, it wasn't to this, it wasn't up to this standard, right? You know, like your husband takes you out for breakfast. Well, he didn't make me breakfast in bed, right? So there's always something like that, right? And so if you don't have a goal or an objective or a specific outcome in mind, or you don't know what you and your spouse needs, and how to best fulfill those needs, then how are you going to be able to know whether you're feeling successful in this relationship, right? But our overall goal as Muslims in marriage, and I think this is so important and so healthy, is that we should be striving for a life of having closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleasing Him through our choices in our marriage and through every other relationship in our lives, right? And so in preparation for marriage, this is a goal you can have in every relationship in your life, to do it for the sake of Allah, to think, what would Allah want me to do in the way that I deal with this person? What would Allah want me to do in the way I respond to them, in the way that I deal with them, right? And so when we make our intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it helps in every step of the way. And actually, it's one of the things that I advise my clients in marriage counseling, because a lot of times when people do things for the sake of one another, when that person makes you mad, you stop doing it, right? But if you do it for the sake of Allah, then no matter what that other person's reaction is, you know you're getting rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that goal is being met, right? It becomes an achievable goal. When you do things for the sake of Allah, it becomes an achievable goal. You want to do things that'll make your spouse feel happy. You're going to want to do things that make your parents happy, your friends happy, and things like that. But realize that their happiness is not your responsibility, right? So when you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even if they're still not happy, even if they're still struggling, even if they have their own stuff that they're dealing with that prevents them from responding in a good way to you, it's all for the sake of Allah and it's all taken into account. And so this is one of the misconceptions that people have in marriage, and that's one of the ways to address it. That misconception of, if I get married, I will be happy, right? If I get married, I will be happy. And I tell you, anybody who's married can tell you that that's not the way it works, right? And everybody's shaking their heads. Like, but the point of marriage is not happiness. One of the points of marriage is, number one, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, through that, growth. The point of marriage is growth, right? And happiness has very little to do with your life circumstances, and it has much more to do with the way you think about your life circumstances. And that's why I said the social media thing, right? Were you complaining that your spouse didn't make you breakfast in bed, or that your wife doesn't have a gourmet meal waiting for you when you come home from work? Were you thinking about that complaint before you saw it on somebody's social media account? No. You weren't, right? And so our circumstances have very little to do with our happiness and much more to do with our mindset, right? So marriage is a test just like any other test. And so for some of us, there's going to be ease. For some of us, there's going to be hardship. But for pretty much everybody, it's a mix of both, right? And, you know, it's that combination in being able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good, and being able to work toward change for the things that are not so good, right? And so, you know, we place this emphasis on finding the right spouse who's going to make me half happy, who's going to be my second half. Number one, you have to be whole before you get married. Like, there's nobody who's going to fulfill that second half thing. And so your happiness, your responsibility, right? And so that's one of the misconceptions that is important to address. The other, my deen will improve if I get married, right? I'll become more religious. I'll become more practicing once I get married, right? Marriage can make you a better Muslim, right? Like, if you have, it's natural that if you have somebody who is also pushing toward that same goal, that you will grow together, inshallah. But if you need to improve your connection to Allah, if you need to improve your worship, your ibadah of Him, waiting for somebody else to do that for you is not going to work, right? If you're not waking up for Fajr and you're like, oh, my husband or my wife is going to be the one that's going to wake me up for Fajr, I can't wait until that happens, then, you know, you're in for a little bit of a disaster with that, because this is something that's within your control right now. If you're not doing what you need to do to take control over a change that you want to make now, what makes you think somebody's going to be able to do that for you? This has to be something that you do for yourself. And it's really important that if you have a goal, don't wait for it for marriage. That's something that you can work on for yourself as well. Another misconception is that people think, you know, I'll be more confident once I'm married. Again, self-esteem is your responsibility. It's something you need to work on your own. Like, yes, somebody who treats you well, somebody who treats you kindly will make you feel good, but it doesn't necessarily change the way you view yourself. That's something that you need to work on your own, because our capacity to love and to see the good in others is also included in, it also is somewhat dependent on our capacity to see good in ourselves, right? And so when we're accepting of ourselves, when we're growing ourselves, then we can see that in other people as well. And it can also breed a sense of animosity and jealousy and things like that if we don't have that, if we're not working on that. So ask yourself, you know, like, do I tend to see the clouds or the sunshine, right? Like, my mindset is going to impact what I focus on, not just on myself, but on my spouse. If there is a tendency for you to see the negatives in people around you, that will happen in marriage, and a spouse is not going to change that. That's something that you have to work on for yourself, right? That mindset shift of being able to scan the world for good. And that's going to be a very positive and impactful for you in your marriage as well, to start practicing that. Start practicing seeing the good, right? The other one, and this one's really a really big misconception, prior to marriage and within marriage, which is that my spouse should know what I need.